You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday to you all. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire, 3 USA Today Sports Media Group. Today, I want to talk a bit about Michigan State. Again, obviously, it's Michigan State week. So we will get into them a little bit right up top. Then I think it's kind of curious that we really can't come up with like a player of the game for Michigan. Like, yeah, Michigan's done their players of the game, but like nationally and locally, it's just there's so many different things to talk about. So we're going to run down the candidates for that in segment two. And we'll just kind of go from there. Just because that's it. Then Reggie Bush had some comments on Michigan, Ohio State. I kind of agree with him. I mean, like, you write it like, and sorry about that. You write it like, I love how autoplay video just kind of comes up. You pull up something to look at a stat. Anyway, I kind of agree with him, though. Like, he had his comments about Michigan and Ohio State. And I know you write it like, this is the worst thing you've ever heard, but that's just the nature of running essentially a site for fans, you know? Anyway, let's talk Michigan State. Let's look at what they did a little bit more closely since we messed around with Scott Bell yesterday. That's why we're doing the later push. Usually when we have a guest, I like to let that ride for a bit. So usually after a guest, we're going to have a later podcast the next day. Usually how that's going to go. Anyway, let's get into Michigan State. Let's be serious about it. Let's not make fun of them this time. Let's just take a look at what they did, what they were good at, what they were bad at. What they were good at, for the most part, was passing. Okay? So, 2 interceptions from Michael Lombardi. That's 2 of the 7 cough-ups. They lost 5 fumbles. But they also turned the ball over 2 other times through the air. But Rocky Lombardi, they asked him to do a lot. Through 43 times, he completed 31. 319 yards, average of 7.4 yards per play. 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. QBR rating of 59.5. Now, if you want to know what Joe Milton had, I'll bring that up here in a second as far as the what his QBR was. I don't have that readily available. Reason I never have some of these things readily available is we're doing stream of consciousness, so I'm like fact checking myself. Okay, now, Joe Milton had a QBR of 93 to give you some indication. But Tanner Morgan from Minnesota, 41.8. So by all accounts, Rocky Lombardi outplayed Tanner Morgan. Against Rutgers, though. Let's keep that in mind. Against Rutgers. So that's what they passed for. Rushing, and you might remember hearing Scott Bell say yesterday that they can't run the ball worth anything. And that's true. 39 carries, 50 yards, average of 1.3 yards per carry. The longest run they had was 14 yards. Jordan Simmons was their leading ball carrier, 14 carries, 43 yards. Connor Hayward, the guy who put himself in the transfer portal, took himself back out, 7 carries for 18 yards. Elijah Collins, the supposed breakout star for them, 9 carries for 3 yards. And then a bunch of negative plays from Brandon Wright, Rocky Lombardi, Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed was their leading receiver, got 128 yards, 2 touchdowns, caught a 50-yard catch. Jalen Naylor, still very good, 6 receptions, 84 yards, had a 30-yarder. Tight end Matt Dotson got 5 catches for 50 yards, had a 15-yarder. And then they had 5 other guys. So, I mean, they spread the ball around a bit. It's not like they can't do it. The fumbles, that's where it really hurts you, right? Two from Jaden Reed, two fumbles, one from Rocky Lombardi, one from Jalen Naylor, one from Jordan Simmons. That's not sustainable, of course. But at the same time, you feel like it doesn't live in a vacuum either, right? Like Michigan had fumbling issues to start the season last year. And what happened? It continued. So it's on Michigan to make that continue. Defensively, I mean, they couldn't get a ton of pressure. They had four quarterback hurries, two sacks, 11 tackles for loss. So the tackles for loss, they managed quite a bit. Sacks and quarterback hurries, not so much. As far as what Michigan had allowed in tackles for loss, three. Michigan had allowed three tackles for loss this last week. They got eight themselves, but they got five sacks. So that's where they are as far as that's concerned. Let's look at the other side of the ball real quick for Michigan State. How is their defense overall since we just started talking about that? They held Rutgers to 170 yards passing. 169 of that came from Noah Vedral. 18 for 29 for 169 yards, a 5.8 yard per attempt average, one touchdown, one interception. They only managed 106 rushing yards. And Bo Melton, the four-star who Michigan was really targeting, the legacy from Rutgers is the one who ended up getting the four receptions, 50 yards. And then you got Aaron Cruikshank for 43 yards, Isaiah Pacheco for 37, Shamin Jones for 32. Not sure how much that means. I think that's really important to note. Right? Because it's like, oh, you know, Rutgers might be really good. They might not be. That's the thing about it all. They might not be. As far as their passing last year, they averaged, let's see, where is it? It doesn't look like I have a good average on the passing offense there. Let me look it up here. They averaged 10th in the league, 170 yards per game through the air last year. Is Noah Vedral, is he make them that much better? I don't know, but they got literally what their average is through the air this past weekend. How about their rushing? Actually, sorry, that was, I'm looking at this year's, to be honest. So sorry, 139 is what they got last year passing. So I was wrong. They got above it, but I mean, 170 compared to 139, that's barely baby steps, right? Michigan State, their average was 244. So they definitely exceeded their passing ability. Now, rushing offense, Rutgers got 100 yards on the ground. They held them to 100 something yards. They were averaging 133.75 yards a year ago on the ground. So it's not like, yeah, okay, they didn't get as much, but it's not like they were going crazy. Michigan State had a worse number. They averaged 127.15 on the ground, and they did worse. There's only a handful of games, if you look at what games did Michigan State have where they got more than 50 yards or under 100 yards. Let's do it that way. Under 100 yards rushing. Well, Ohio State last year at 67. Wisconsin, they had 30. Penn State, they had 83. Michigan, 54. Maryland, 88. As far as passing is concerned, you're looking at how many times did they pass for over 300? They did it a few times last year. Western Michigan, Indiana, Maryland, and Wake Forest. So Michigan State seems like they're right about where they've been, honestly. Maybe better, maybe worse. We really won't know. Hard to tell. But that's my kind of quick look at what they bring to the table. Got to defend the pass. You got to imagine, though, that Rocky Lombardi and their receivers aren't better than Tanner Morgan and Chris Ottman-Bell and Rashad Bateman. Anyone who watched that game can tell you their line was a mess. Michigan's line, obviously defensive line, is the strength of their team. We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, it doesn't feel like they have much of a chance, but we'll see. Anything can happen. You don't turn the ball over 7 times, that game might have gone a heck of a lot different. But they still gave up 38 points to Rutgers. That's the other funny thing. I see people saying, well, Michigan State's defense wasn't that bad. It gave up 38 points to Rutgers. When was the last time that Rutgers scored 38 points in a game? When was the last time it happened? You were the ones who want to sit there and say whatever. The last time it happened was beginning of last season against UMass in the season opener, 48-21. Last time it happened in a conference game that they scored 38 points. I mean, you have to go back. They got 65 points against Morgan State, FCS school, in 2017. They didn't get 38 points at all in a conference game, otherwise. I mean, I'm not even sure that they've done it in the conference. Okay, Indiana. That was it. 2015 against Indiana. They scored 55 points in a win, believe it or not. And then they also, that same year, lost to Maryland, scoring 41 points. That's Kyle Flood, Rutgers. They did it a few times back when they first joined the conference, 41 points against Washington State, 38 against Howard. That's about it. 38 points in a, or 41 points again in a win against Maryland in 2014. 40 points against North Carolina. Wow. All right. That was my deep dive. We're done. I'm done. Let's move on. Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How would you like to hit that reset button and get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time with work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Listen, I don't drink anymore. Y'all know that. But when I did, Coors Light was the light beer that I always went to. I prefer it over all of those other options out there. I still do. Very much true. Listen, come Saturdays, watching football is therapeutic to fans. It's uninterrupted me time and excuse to chill and drink beer. Most of college football is back now, and Coors Light wants fans to know that there's plenty of teams and sports out there that will allow you to relax and enjoy a beer. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team, just to drink beer. As you know, again, Coors Light is the one that I chose when I needed to unwind. So when you need to hit the reset button, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Now, y'all know how much I love Built Bar as well, right? I was so excited when I got to go off my vegan diet for a few days when I went to Minnesota. I grabbed a bunch of those Built Bars. It was like 10 minutes into my road trip that I was reaching for one of them. I got the strawberry flavor. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. These are protein bars that taste like a candy bar. They're low calorie, low carb, high protein. They're not gritty. They have no aftertaste. I put my money where my mouth is. A lot of you have as well. I know of at least 10 people that have come to me and said, listen, I bought it. I loved it. Might be more than that, honestly. I might be underestimating. I'm definitely not overestimating. Telling you, it is wonderful. Go to BuiltBar.com. Put in promo code LOCKEDON. Get 20% off of your next order. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. I'm telling you, you'll love it. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the whole player of the game from this last week. It's funny because you look around and you can't really tell who's really was the best player, because Kirk Herbstreit put out his top eight performers of the week. And there you have him saying Michael Barrett was number two, I believe, just behind Graham Mertz. You look at Pro Football Focus. They say that no one had a better performance than Kwity Paye. You ask a lot of people just around college football. You listen to what is going on in the media. They'll say that it's Joe Milton. Except for Jim Mora, who I heard on off campus on ESPNU yesterday on Sirius XM. He was kind of like, I'm not buying in yet, you know. Zach Charbonnet, it's okay. Stan Hansen's okay. You look at the Tony Gerdeman from Michigan Monday. He's not sounding the alarm yet. It's over at Buckeye Scoop now, by the way. He's not sounding the alarm yet as far as Michigan is concerned, but, like, he does note, like, the sheer volume. It's like, well, yeah, out of the, you know, Zach Charbonnet's 70 yards, you know, it was one 70-yard play, and then the rest were for no gain. Or you look at, you know, Son Haskins out of his 84, 66 came on one play. Who cares? I mean, it was like eight carries and four carries. I mean, it's barely anything, right? They got 230-something yards. Who cares if it comes on one play? They broke those one play. Zach Charbonnet's 70-yard carry came his first carry. The first play from scrimmage on Michigan's second drive after they were down 7-0. And it was masterful by the offensive line, particularly. That's the other thing. You look at the offensive line. I mean, it's like that whole unit performed awesome. You can't even pick one to say, yeah, that's my guy. They just were great. Now, how good is Minnesota's defensive front? Maybe not that good. Could Michigan State be better? I mean, at least we know Antoine Simmons is a guy. But you still feel good coming off of watching them maul people. Joe Milton, obviously, just, I mean, to me, it's still partially him. Because, yeah, all those other guys made big plays, but the team was galvanized around Joe in a way that we haven't seen the team galvanized around a quarterback in a long time. You know how much I love Shea. You know how much I love Wilton. Jake Rudock really showed up late. We all loved Denard. Maybe some not as much while he was here, because I feel like there were people complaining about him then, and then as soon as he was gone, it's like, yay, Denard was amazing. You know, that's how it goes. With Milton, it just seemed like the teams around him, it feels like it's his team, you know? So that's kind of how I look at it in a ways. Kind of feels like it's Joe Milton's deal. So when it comes to my player of the game, that's who I'm going to pick. Probably should have done that on Monday, but a lot of these things trickle out over the course of time. All right, we're going to keep this one short. Let's talk about Reggie Bush here on the other end, what he had to say about Michigan and the Ohio State rivalry. All right, before we talk about Reggie Bush and the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, we at least can talk about a Michigan quarterback and Ohio State quarterback played against each other yesterday in the Spring League. Shea Patterson completely outdueled JT Barrett. Shea Patterson, I don't know the number of yards on how many attempts, what his completion percentage is, because they didn't seem to release any of these stats, but the Spring League had its debut yesterday in San Antonio. Shea Patterson threw for three touchdowns. They won 19-0 over JT Barrett. So the Blues beat the Alphas. That's what it was. And so good job on him for finally getting a win over an Ohio State quarterback, I guess, is the way we're going to look at it. Okay, Reggie Bush, though, here's what he said. He was asked on he's doing like a live video Q&A thing on Twitter. And he said, many people are asking, I don't know why, but they always ask, can Michigan beat Ohio State this year? Michigan looked good, okay. But We will see when it gets to that point because they got a lot of football left to play. We have to get through a season healthy first. But listen, Michigan fans, I know y'all excited. I know you saw some sparks, something you ain't seen in a long time. Just hold your horses, all right? We'll see if Michigan can get there. As of right now, the answer is no, but things can change. I agree. Now, it's different, though, I think. When you know that you've got someone that's going to look at Michigan more objectively compared to someone like Reggie Bush, who just a week ago is sitting there saying, I don't know about this Joe Milton guy. I don't know about this Joe Milton character, that long hair and his hip-hop music and listening to his radio, his boombox radios and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, it's harder to take any analyst seriously. Just like if Mark May was saying something back like 10 years ago about Michigan, you can pretty much disregard it out of hand. Because you knew that, like, no matter what it was, like, you wondered if Michigan, like, bought him a puppy, let him get attached to the puppy, and then kidnapped the puppy. The way that he talked about Michigan. There's certain people like that. Reggie Bush is one of those. Which is weird. Like, yeah, okay, you played against Michigan twice, but, like, you think Brady Quinn over at Fox would have a bigger issue with Michigan. Matt Leinart also played against Michigan twice. Well, he played against them once, but, I mean, he was on the roster twice. Doesn't seem to have an issue with Michigan. But as far as the sentiment of what Reggie Bush is saying, I do agree. It is too soon. And if I was to pick today, doesn't matter if Ohio State loses to Penn State this week and Michigan wins out and they win every game 70-0, I'm probably still picking Michigan to lose to Ohio State until they change. Because there's something mental there. Eventually, it has to go away to some point with, you know, you get a bunch of new guys that don't know any better. Problem is, you keep on getting guys indoctrinated in a way that they feels like they've been in it forever. So, we'll see. I don't think it's much ado about anything, what Reggie Bush had to say. But, I mean, coming from the person it's coming from makes it a little more difficult. Weirdly, that's why I like a lot of what Urban Meyer says about Michigan, because he kind of goes out of his way. And I know a lot of people always are angry whenever they see Urban Meyer talk about Michigan. Listen, he goes out of his way to say good things about them. And I think that holds a ton of weight. Whenever, you know, you find compliments, it's not a backhand. Like, people want to say, oh, it's backhanded because it's Urban. I watch a lot of Urban Meyer. You can like him, you can not like him, you can think he's a sleazeball or not, whatever, that's your prerogative. But when he talks about Michigan, he's usually got a pretty good point. That's why I like it. But, you know, who knows what Reggie's motivation was there, but it was what it was. All right, that'll do it for today. Mailbag will be tomorrow afternoon at some point. Late afternoon, most likely. Get your questions in. The question, the call for it, the tweet is out on Twitter at Isaiah Hole. Find me over there. That'll do it for us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow for the mailbag. Peace.